Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. God is good. So it's been a very exciting series for me. I've enjoyed teaching this so much. And I only hope that what we learn in these teachings, we will apply in our lives. Amen. You know, I started the series off by saying this, that when it comes to spiritual warfare, there's two kind of camps, if you want to call it that. The one group is like, yes, I'm going to go. And the other group is like, I don't want to know about that stuff. I don't want to get involved with that stuff. And there's so many reasons for that. One of the reasons is because in some ways, spiritual warfare has kind of been sensationalized, if I can call it that, for respectfully and for lack of a better word. The reality is that spiritual warfare is a big part of our Christian life, a big part of our Christian lifestyle and our walk, and we must participate in warfare. Amen. But the reality is we must not make a demon out of everything. There's no demon in the pole. There's no demon in the chair. Don't over-sensationalize everything and make everything about the devil. Amen. Our focus should be on God. Our focus should be on worshiping Him. Our focus should be on having relationship and intimacy with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And while we're fighting this good fight and while we're worshiping, the enemy will come in like a flood and desire to bring all kinds of things against you. And what you need to do in that moment is recognize who you are, what you are armed with, and exactly what your purpose and destiny is, and stand in the Word of God, clothed in the armor, and you'll be able to overcome any attack. And we're gonna solidify all of this. It's gonna come to a point right at the end of Ephesians 10, where Paul makes a very bold statement. But before we get there, let's just quickly read through this text, Ephesians 6, verse number 10. You should all know it off by heart by now. I've only read it to you like 5 times. Amen. Now remember, and I'm going to kind of slow it down a little bit this morning just with this, kind of to just set you up for what God is wanting to say this morning. It was very interesting because oftentimes when I build a sermon, I want to add this and I want to bring this in and I want to do this, but I feel like God is saying things to us week after week. And even last week with Pastor Harold, there was one or two things that we have to take out of the sermon. So I don't mind if you leave with just one thing. As long as that one thing changes your life. As long as that one thing is something that you don't forget. And this morning, there's one thing that I want you to get. When I get to it, I can't wait. Okay, well, let's go. Let's just go. Amen. I'm excited. Amen. The Word of God is something to shout about. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now let's stop right there. Amen. Amen. I can just, when I read it, I can just picture it. I can just see it all coming together. There's the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with peace. We have the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. Now we know that we need to put it on. The Bible says that we need to stand against the wiles of the enemy. We need to stand. We need to put on the whole armor of God. How many of you know that that is our responsibility? We have to put it on. It's not just going to arrive. I love to pray it. I love to pray in prayer meetings. I do it all the time. I'll pray. Father, I put on the belt of truth, gird my loins with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod my feet. And it is powerful. But it doesn't help if I pray it and I'm not doing it. Amen. So I must apply this word in my life and do what it says by applying truth. Without truth, nothing stays together. If the truth is not in you, there's darkness in you. The Bible says that how great is that darkness? Because anything outside of the truth is darkness. So how great is that darkness? That's why we have to have the truth in us. It holds the rest of the armor together. We have to have the breastplate of righteousness. How many of you know, thank God that we have the righteousness of Christ, that we are made righteous because of the blood of Jesus. So because of His blood, we are made righteous. What's important for you to understand is because of His righteousness, you can continue to fight. When you make a mistake, you can get up and you can continue to fight. When you fall, you get up and you keep on going because you've been made righteous because of His righteousness. There's nothing you can do because your righteousness is like filthy rags. If you study what that means in the original language, it's not nice. It's really dirty. Amen. Amen. But the Bible also says that we should seek His righteousness. And when you seek His righteousness, when you seek after Him with all of your heart, you'll find that your focus will shift from your weaknesses, your mistakes, the sins and things in your life, and you will begin to focus on Him, His love, His goodness, His mercy, His kindness, and it will just begin to, there'll begin to be a shift that takes place in your life. That's why those who seek righteousness, they will be filled. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. There must be a seeking. There must be a desire, but it must be after God. And when you seek after God, all of a sudden, naturally change and transformation begins to take place in your life. The danger comes in when a Christian says, well, I don't need to pray anymore. I don't need to read the word anymore. I don't need to fast anymore. I don't need to pray over my children anymore because it's all just done for me. That's when you stop seeking and you get into trouble. Amen. The shoes of peace. The peace of God is so powerful, guys. I have seen so many times when people come full of fear or they come up because of addictions and stuff and you pray the peace of God over them. Don't tell me that it doesn't change a person because it does. His peace is not only something that gives you peace, but it also becomes a weapon against the enemy, because if there's one thing the enemy cannot stand is when a Christian stays in peace when he's throwing everything against you. He doesn't understand why it is that you can still be calm. He doesn't understand why it is that you can still have peace. It makes no sense to him. And it's at that point that you firmly crush Satan underfoot. Amen. The shield of faith. And as I explained last time, the imagery of a Roman soldier, when he has his shield, it's not above all. In other words, it's not the most important piece of armor. What Paul is saying is that it covers every part of you. If you watch, when the Roman soldiers used to march in combat, they would all come together. And they would make this call and they would all come and stand next to each other. And they would all huddle down. And they would march forward and their shields would cause a complete protection for them. There would be hardly anything open and the enemy would shoot their arrows and the shields would be covering them on the top and covering them on the side in the front and they would be completely protected. The shield of faith is what protects you. It's your faith that will keep you strong. You must operate with faith. Amen. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Once you put your faith in the things that are not right, you lose your protection. Put your faith, put your trust in Him. Amen. The helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation protects you. We have to walk by faith, but we also have to renew our minds. We have to be saved. We have to keep our minds. Our soul is in the process of changing constantly. When you get saved, yes, you're saved. Your spirit man is saved. You are going to heaven. But how many of you know there's still your mind? And your mind is the battlefield. That salvation must be placed on top of your head all the time. You have to constantly renew your mind. You have to constantly stay in the Word. You have to constantly keep on with the things of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Rhema Word of God. It's like a two-edged sword. The Bible speaks of a two-mouthed sword. When God's Word is in your heart and you begin to speak it, it comes out of your mouth. It's a two-mouthed sword. It's your words and His words. And I shared with you how powerful Ezekiel was. When God said to him, Ezekiel, prophesy to the dry bones. Can these bones live? And he said, you alone know, Lord. And the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel and he began to speak the word of the Lord. And as he began to speak, life came to the bones. That's how we need to live our lives. We need to prophesy. We need to speak life to our children. We need to speak life to the dry bones in our lives. We need to speak life to our businesses. We need to speak life to Vera Beach. Pastor Harold preached last week, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, Lord, when you speak to the circumstances in your life, when you speak to your children, when you speak to your destiny, when you speak to your business, when you put an action in motion and something begins to happen, when you begin to speak the kingdom of God. Amen. Now we have this armor, fully armed, fully equipped, fully ready and engaged. And here comes the punch. But before I share that with you, what I need you to understand is we need to go back to the beginning of the lesson. Remember, the battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle is against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in dark places. It's against the enemy. The spirit realm is far more real than the natural realm that we live in. In fact, this realm, the realm that we live in, this natural realm, is completely controlled by the realm of the spirit. So when you battle, when someone attacks you, when something happens, you need to understand that there is an enemy behind it. Your battle is not against the person. Your battle is against the spirit that's operating against you. So the battle is not against a person. So now we put on this armor. We understand what it means. We begin to pray. We begin to get into the word. We begin to change. We have faith. We have all this stuff. What happens now? Now you have to fight. You have this armor. So what do we do now? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. The first thing I need to say is you need to make sure that you battle in the correct realm. So don't fight in the natural. Fight in the realm of the spirit. Amen. Look at what Paul says. Paul finishes off by giving us every piece of armor. Now, there are many scholars that will teach that there's other pieces of armor, and I'm not arguing with that. But when I read the text, Paul finishes with the armor, and then he says, praying. Praying. Now you're clothed with the full armor of God, and you're going to engage in battle. How do you do that? Prayer. Prayer is where the battle takes place. Look at what he says. He says, praying always. Praying always. The reality is, if your back is facing the enemy, you are exposed. You might have all the armor on, but if you're not engaged in warfare, if you're not engaged with God, if you're not engaged with the things that are coming against you and you turn your back on the against the enemy, you are exposed. How many stories in the real world have we heard of someone getting stabbed in the back? So immediately the shift moves from the weapons, and then he says, praying always. Praying always. In other words, not only praying when you're in trouble. In all situations, keep on praying. When the attack comes against you, you pray. When things are going well, you pray. You pray always. You're engaged in warfare always. A wise warrior will always know the plans of the enemy. A wise warrior, even when we pray here at church, we ask the Lord, Father, give our government the plans that the enemies of this nation have. Give them the plans. Give our army, give our defense force the plans of the enemy so they know the attack. In order for you to be able to do that, you must be praying always. Always be in prayer. Amen. The reality is, church, if you're not in prayer, you're not in the fight. I have my armor. What do I do? When everything comes against you, when everything's going on, you have the armor, you have the word, you have salvation, you have faith, you have peace. You close your door. You go into your office. You do what you got to do. You close your eyes. You lift your hands and you begin to pray. You begin to intercede. You begin to cry out to God. That's how we engage in spiritual warfare. Praying always. As I said, don't only pray when trouble comes, but pray in every season of your life. Daniel 6:10 says this. Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since. Let's stop right there. We see a lifestyle of prayer. Listen, that doesn't mean you pray over breakfast, lunch, and dinner only. Amen. We should be engaged in prayer. I'm not saying you must go and you must always now pray for hours and hours. What I'm saying is be in relationship with God. Talk to Him. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Always praying. Amen. Luke 6:12 says this. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. This is Jesus. If Jesus had to have an all-night prayer meeting every now and then, guess what? So will we. When the battle comes, when the enemy rages against you, there will be seasons where you will have to pray. You will have to intercede. You will have to intercede. You will have to go into warfare. That's true warfare. Something comes against your children. Go into your room. Shut the door. Father, I lift my children up to you. Your kingdom come in their lives as it is in heaven. Begin to pray. Begin to intercede. Father, I trust you. You gave me a word for my son when he was just a little baby. Lord, I declare that word over my son. And you pray. Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. So Paul says, pray always. Pray always. He says, he goes on and he says, with all prayer. With all prayer. The Greek word for all there is the word pros, which means all, every kind, every sort. Now this is important. When the enemy comes against you, or when you pray, you need to learn every kind of prayer that there is. We have the Our Father. We have things in Scripture where Jesus says to Peter, whatsoever things you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatsoever things you loose on earth. So you need to bind, you need to loose, you need to pray, you need to know scripture, you need to know how to fight every kind of prayer that there is. Go study the prayers that Paul prayed, go study the prayers that Daniel prayed, go study them so that when you're in your room, you can take the word and you can fight with the word, you can lift it up. Every kind of prayer, different kinds of prayer, begin to pray, begin to seek his face. You need the sword of the Spirit, and then you need to pray it. Amen. Amen. Every kind, every sort of prayer, we are supposed to come before him with every type. The Lord's Prayer, Jesus told Peter, as I said, to bind and to loose, to pray, to come against the enemy. Paul teaches us how to fight. He goes on and he says, first of all, with all prayer. So we know we need to pray with all the different kinds of prayers and supplication. Supplication is the word deesis in the Greek. And what it speaks of is it speaks of your petitions, your requests. So when we come before God in a situation of warfare, we come before him and we pray the different things that he says. Then we bring our requests to him and we begin to cry out to him. And we pray concerning our children. We pray concerning our loved ones. We pray for the things that we need. Amen. Amen. I love this. John 15:7 says this. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you want. And you know the scripture. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me and my words in you. Listen, in the beginning of this whole passage, he says, put on the whole armor of God. If you abide in me, his armor abides on you. He is the armor. It's the armor of God that you place on you. If you abide in him and he in you and you begin to do what his word says, then you will begin to ask and you will begin to see results in your life. You will begin to see transformation. You'll begin to see your children change. You'll begin to see your business change. If you operate by the things of the kingdom and submit to the king, then you will see these things happen. Amen. Amen. It's amazing because he goes on and he says, for all the saints, the reality is, church, is that as a believer, I've taught you this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, but we should also love our neighbor. That is the second commandment. Just, the Bible says, also so important. So we should intercede. We should intercede for our own lives and then we should intercede also for our neighbor, for people around us. Listen, if you love someone, you will fight for that person. You will begin to intercede for that person. You will begin to war for that person. You will take the word and declare it over that person. You will speak it. You'll prophesy it. You'll pray it. Amen. And I really love this next part. He says, and for me. You also should pray for your pastor. Amen. You should also engage in warfare and prayer for your pastor. Paul said, pray for me as well. Look at what he says. He says, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I want to bring to you what God has for you. You need to lift us up as well. Amen. You need to lift up your cell leaders. You need to lift up your zone leaders. You need to lift up the pastors. In fact, church, let's lift up every pastor in the city right now. Right now, let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. Father, this morning, in the name of Jesus, we lift up every pastor in the city. We ask, Lord, that you would have your way in their lives. We ask, Father, that you would protect them, that your hand would be mighty upon them. In the name of Jesus, we come against every weapon that the enemy tries to bring against them. And I know that you will raise up a standard against it. Father, we worship you and we praise you. We ask for your leading and your guidance in this city. Vero Beach belongs to you. This city belongs to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I have taught you about all the weapons, but if you don't go into warfare, I remember once, in fact, it's happened about 3 times, that I would pray for somebody and I would see them clothed in armor. And I even prophesied that their armor would be rusty. If you don't engage in prayer, if you don't keep the fire light of the Holy Spirit in your life, that armor begins to rust. That armor begins to wear out. You become defenseless. And not only defenseless, but you stop coming against the enemy. I would rather keep the enemy on the run than have him turn around and come against me. Amen. Guys, we have to stay in prayer. There is a call of prayer to the body of Christ right now like I have never heard. Not only in this nation, but all over the world right now, God is calling His people to pray. He is desiring for you and for me to get into prayer. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to equip you. He wants to empower you to do everything He has called you to do. But it requires us to pray. Amen. Now, I've taught you about the armor. I've taught you how to stand. I've taught you all of this. I want to close by reading a prophecy that Isaiah gave. Let's all go to Isaiah 59. Verse number 16. You see, revelation must line up with the Word of God. Amen. So even while Paul was giving revelation, it lined up with the Old Testament. Watch this. Isaiah 59, 16 to 19. He saw there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him. Look, all capital H's. His own arm brought salvation for him. And his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with zeal as a cloak. I want to just stop right there. When you are in Christ, when you are in Christ and you are serving and you are worshiping and you are staying in the Word, and your focus is not to do, but rather to be in relationship, something will happen to you. You see, there is something there that he says that he was clad with zeal as a cloak. You will begin to have a passion for God. You will begin to have a fire for God. You will begin to have a zeal for God. That's what comes naturally. And he's prophesying about the Lord. And he says he will be clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory for the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Listen, the full armor of God is the armor of him himself. When you are in Christ and you place him on your life, you gird your loins with truth. You put on the breastplate of righteousness. You shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When you take up the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, and you begin to have the zeal of the Lord on your life, and you begin to cry out, and you begin to pray, and you begin to fight. Listen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And while you are doing that, the enemy can come in like a flood, but the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Somebody get up and give the Lord a shout. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, it's your armor. It is you, Lord. this morning in this place, we desire to be clothed with the whole armor of God. We walk with the righteousness of Christ. Father, even as it was prophesied that you would come, and even as this prophecy, Father, that has been spoken has been fulfilled perhaps in part, but will still be fulfilled. But surely the Son of God has come and has set the captive free and delivered all mankind. And now we also can put on this armor. We can be clothed with Christ and we can stand protected, covered, hidden in Him. And Father, in Him, no weapon formed against us will prosper. For I pray this morning, I declare and decree over this congregation and every person in this house, Father, that you will protect us, that you will lead us, that you will guide us, that as we begin to fight the good fight of faith for our families, for our businesses, for our children, for our loved ones, for our neighbors, for our city, for our church, Lord, that you will have your way. This city belongs to you. Our children belong to you. My life belongs to you. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And Father, I pray this prayer this morning over each and every one of us, that we will pray always, 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 Father, always, always. This is my desire, to honor you, to know you, to walk with you, to worship you. Father, I need you even to love you. I need you to love you. For what is this love that I have inside of me? Surely, surely it must be from you. Father, transform us. Transform us. Transform our lives. Transform our city, and we will always give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. All the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Now I pray, Father, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with every single one of these precious people as they leave here this morning. We love you. We praise you and we worship you in Jesus' precious name.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.